Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. For months, Massachusetts General Hospital Dr. Audrey Provenzano was haunted by the way she had treated one of her patients. When she learned that her patient later died of an overdose, she sprung into action. And now, Dr. Provenzano is urging other physicians to join her in getting trained on prescribing medication to treat opioid addiction. She recently wrote about this in the New England Journal of Medicine, and she's come into our studios to talk about it today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So in your piece in the New England Journal of Medicine, you write about your longtime patient, whom you call Ms. L, and you say that she came to you for a regular appointment and confessed that she needed help. What did she say?
Yeah. Well, she had a history of addiction from years ago, decades ago. She'd been in remission for a really long time. So up until that point, when I treated her, when she came in for visits, it was focusing on her diabetes, her blood pressure, and kind of all the other routine care that we do in primary care. And that day, she told me that she had relapsed, and I was completely shocked. I was not expecting it at all. She had done so well with her recovery, and it just honestly had never crossed my mind.
Yeah. You had to tell her, Ms. L, that you were not able to prescribe the addiction medication buprenorphine, also known as Suboxone, because you're not licensed to prescribe it. And despite the licensing issue, you acknowledge in the piece that you were also apprehensive about addiction care in general. Why is that?
Yeah, I was. And I think a lot of primary folks in primary care are. It's challenging. It's not something that, at least I think up until the last couple of years, has been addressed that much in medical school for people who are maybe not going to specialize in addiction. But it's become so much more common that I think a lot of people who are practicing now are thinking about getting waivered but hesitate because there are all of these complicated issues that come up when you're thinking about treating these patients, the social consequences of addiction that we don't see with other chronic disease.
Right. There's so much behavior involved, right?
Yeah. And a lot.
What are some of the challenges? So let's backtrack and first tell the rest of your story here.
So you
get the license to prescribe buprenorphine after you take about an 8-hour training that's required to get the waiver so you can prescribe it.
Mm-hmm.
And you start treating patients.
Mm-hmm.
Was it what you expected, and how did those complexities affect treatment?
Well, it has been absolutely the most satisfying part of my practice. I really have enjoyed it. It's something that you can really see the difference that you're making in someone's life in a way that you don't, or at least I haven't seen with other chronic disease.
Hmm.
And I've really enjoyed it and learned so much. I think that, what I've learned most from my colleagues who have a lot more experience in addiction is really working with the patient on what their goals are, trying to think about minimizing harm in a way that we don't in other areas of chronic disease, ways to minimize overdose if someone does have a relapse, because relapse is part of the chronic disease of addiction. And all of those concepts are not something that we necessarily think about in the same way with other chronic diseases.
Mm, right. So what do you think has been like a challenge for you in terms of dealing with patients who have opioid use disorder? I mean, you certainly mentioned, this is a whole new ball game for a doctor who has a patient whose parental visitation rights are dependent on how that patient interacts with you in your treatment of care, right? And so who are you serving here as a physician when you're supposed to be serving the patient and doing what's best for their health, but you also know that you've got this parental issue in the background, which of course you don't have in other health care issues. So how do those types of things affect you as a physician and affect treatment? That's got to be incredibly difficult.
It is. It's just not something that I before this had ever thought about, really. The way I've managed it, I'm very lucky. I work in a clinic with a lot of resources, people with more experience in addiction, nurses who know a lot about it, And so I have people I can go to and ask questions and, you know, run this scenario by them and get some guidance on what to do.
And in your piece in the New England Journal of Medicine, you do urge other primary care physicians to do their part to treat opioid use disorder, to get the waiver so they can prescribe medication, which has been shown to be effective. But I wonder, you know, some doctors might say, you know, I've already got a lot on my plate. I don't know that I can handle this and all of its complexities. Well,
yeah.
What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I mean, I would say I completely agree, and I'm with them. Primary care is really challenging. I think that it's really essential that we improve our behavioral health services in primary care. The behavioral health services, social work services, they're the folks who can really help with a lot of these other issues that come up with addiction that may not come up with other chronic diseases. And we just need more of them in primary care if people are going to take on addiction and treat it on a daily basis, which I think we really need to do with the current opioid epidemic that we're facing.
Right. And you're not just saying the doctor would be the sole person responsible,
no,
right? Because it's not just prescribing buprenorphine.
I think it really needs to be a team-based effort. You can really assess the patient's needs and develop a care plan individually for that patient.
So what would that look like? Would that look like just it would have a primary care physician, but you'd also have social workers, counselors, mm-hmm. you know, would practices mm-hmm. have to have that whole team involved to be able to provide that level of care?
I think ideally a team of a, you know, nurse practitioner or a physician, social workers, counselors, maybe a recovery coach. I think that a team approach is absolutely essential. And if you look at some of the federally qualified community health centers in the Boston area, they're really leading the way with this model. Lynn Community Health Center has an incredible integrated primary care and behavioral health team, Dimmock Community Health Center. So it's out there. We need to make it more widely available.
And we've got, almost 3,000 Massachusetts healthcare professionals who have undergone the buprenorphine training, so they can prescribe it. Yeah. Do you think it's making a dent?
I think so. I hope so. It's certainly among my colleagues who, you know, I went through medical school and graduated with. I know a bunch of them who've become waivered and started caring for patients with opioid use disorder. So, I hope so.
Are you doing this and writing about this and being very public, obviously, about this in memory of Ms. L? Would you say? Your patient?
I wrote the essay. I felt compelled to write about it. I guess once it started coming together, I realized that it could be a way to try to urge other people to get wavered and maybe not allow that to happen to them. Mm-hmm. So I guess mostly just urging for my colleagues.
Yeah. What's the reaction been since this was published last week?
Oh my gosh, I've been really surprised. I've gotten a lot of messages on Twitter and email, and I think that it's spoken to people in a way that I had hoped, but I really didn't think that it would. So,
all right. Well, Dr. Audrey Provenzano is general practitioner at Massachusetts General Hospital. She's also author of the essay "Caring for Ms. L: Overcoming My Fear of Treating Opioid Use Disorder." It's published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and you can find the article at radioboston.org. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, the history of iconic activist Angela Davis, now at Harvard. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.